It's time for Stars on Sports,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Hello and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. I'm joined today by our Assistant Athletic Director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Dedalion Lowry. And gentlemen, as I head into this podcast each week, I've told you before, there's usually a theme that crosses my desk or I hear throughout the week that makes me want to bring it here and to discuss. And as we end the season or end our year, our academic year, our sports year, you know, we've talked a lot about defining success on this program, but looking back and seeing, like, did you get the most out of your team? And read a lot of articles lately on evaluating coaches and such and what to look for. And there's so many, like, generic topics. But one I saw break it down in, like, three questions, and which led me to our topic today of transferring the power a belief, which again, we talked a lot about belief before, but we'll dive into it more. And even that fictional character, according to Dedalion and ChatGPT, Ted Lasso. Did the team improve? Did individuals improve? And was it a positive experience? And I thought, you know, those are three good questions we should ask each of our teams, each of our departments. So then it made me dive deeper into how. And so listening to a couple podcasts that I like to listen to, and then talking to someone that referenced the book, The Magic of Believing, which was written a long time ago, but one of the first books on how belief can change your mindset, how belief can lead to success. So we'll dive into that a little bit. But it really talked about leader's job is to transfer the power of belief. So, you know, looking up something that talked about inspiring, but we both, all of us here, know what, you know, what we think belief is and how important it is. And, you know, it just made me think about how leaders do that and how successful leaders do that. And we'll go through a couple examples, and maybe you have some examples of coaches in your past. You know, it's not just belief. You know, that's the individual's role on the team, but a coach's role is to get the team to believe in itself to be successful. So that was a lot. Don't know where this will go. It could be our shortest podcast ever, but it just, I've, over the last week, three times this thing has hit me that I have started reading the book, The Magic of Believing. And again, we've talked about stacking wins and bricks and things here too, which lead to belief. And, you know, we'll dive into a little bit about belief first confidence, which I think we have hit in before. But what's your first take, gentlemen, on that?
This is a tough one for me, just at the point of the year and everything else. That being said, I believe that the belief system, you know, you've done a great job of building it, whether it's with a team or just yourself. If it takes the difference between hoping is that you're hoping that you do well. If you have a high belief system, it's expecting, you expect to do well. And so if you can have a team or people that have high expectations, their belief systems are going to be really high. If you've got a lot of people that are just hoping to do well, that means their belief systems aren't necessarily as high.
And I agree, because one of the things is those with the highest belief is important to success. And when you look at teams that have been successful, they had the highest belief system. And they're just, like, you know, the neat thing about working in the world of sports is there's different ways to do things. You know, each coach has their own personality, their own leadership style, their own way, you know, whether it's yelling or calmness or strategic or fun. But each one has, so there's a lot of different ways to instill belief, but it's not easy. I mean,
no, I think talent without belief is the P word that we don't like to say a lot, but talent without belief is just potential.
And that's, we don't like that word, because the frustrating thing to me is reaching one's potential. And what, if someone didn't, that's disappointing to me. And there's a lot, there could be a lot of variables in that. It could be their own work ethic. It could be not a good team combination.
Thousands of variables.
Yeah,
yes.
But that is one of the measuring back to success, and the power of belief is reaching that potential. Again, it goes back to the little thing, the process, building that belief system over time. And how do you do that? And I believe, you know, we've talked about how important captains are on this podcast before, but in this case, from what I've researched and what I wanted to focus is on, is the coach's role in that. Because again, just looking back on a season and how do we get better? And one of the things from the book and learning to make belief stronger is reframing mistakes, reframing failures, and how do good coaches do that? Is it too optimistic? Is it non-realistic enough? But I do believe the successful coaches find ways to change that failure or change that lack of success quickly and strategically, that it moves the team back in the right direction, or it minimizes how much that failure impacts that team. But it starts with trust in a belief system. And in the end, and I wanted to say this to the end, but trust is a big part of building that belief system, that they got to buy into what the, I mean, if the coach is dancing in front of them and trying to like lighten things up and they don't have that trust or buy-in, they're just going to think, what an idiot. But you can do crazy things and change different ways of getting things across by having that buy-in. One of the examples they talked about, who was, you know, when researching this, was Phil Jackson was a name that came up regularly, a basketball coach at the NBA level with the Chicago Bulls, coach Michael Jordan, and was real successful. But, you know, he was a real calm person, didn't yell, but got that team to do things that you wouldn't think would be, you know, because Michael Jordan, they're pretty intense and pretty competitive. But, you know, he would have them journal, read books, run their offense with calm, and you think, does that work? And the example is, he had some interesting personality down there that you thought would never like read a book, but he got them to do it, and it became part of their identity and also led to a lot of success, because some of the members on that team needed to be reeled in a little bit. So, you know, it's important for the coach, starts before the season even starts, of having that plan, having that vision of how they want to see it. Because, you know, when looking for someone, when looking for a coach, you know, a podcast said that you want them to see more before anyone else, you know, see something before it happens. And that is, you know, part of the belief system, believing that it can happen. And I think the good coaches do that, is seeing more before. But it starts with preparation up front. So the belief is the result, and it's such an important result in success, but it's all the other things of daily and how you do it daily that helps build it and stack it.
Belief without talent will still typically outwork and outperform others. Have you seen, in your roles, have you seen teams that have maybe not had as much talent but have performed at high levels because of belief systems that have been either put in from maybe a young age at the youth programs or at the high school level?
Yeah. You know, when you go into every season, your goal is to win a championship. And how realistic is that? Only one team in that four or class wins a championship. And sometimes the best teams don't win the championship, and sometimes it's teams that just play the best at the end. Mm-hmm. But part of playing the best at the end is that belief in that you can do it. And I would argue some of the teams that have won state championships or national championships here at LCC or went on that Mason were teams that just develop that belief system that this really can happen. I mean, because that's the other thing. Everyone wants to win a championship, but do they want to work towards it? Do they do the off-season stuff? Do they do that? But throughout the season, as you build momentum and build that belief system, that's what really you need to win a championship. Because if you don't believe you can do it, then you're not going to. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So I have seen teams. I mean, my first year here, our women's cross country team just got better as the season went on and just gelled and believed in each other as runners. And there was no really star runner, and they ran as a group and, you know, peaked on the right day. You know, I had a bowling team and a high school level that just, you know, started to believe they could
do it. I
feel
like you're throwing this at me now. So, you guys are actually describing my bowling team. We are not the most talented group, but we managed to made it to the final roll-off at LCC's bowling league 3 years now. We ended up being second place the very first time we got in. And then these last 2 years, we won the championship. Definitely not the most talented. I'm not going to say that we don't have good players, because we do. I got two guys that are awesome. Myself and the other two individuals on our team, not as brilliant when it comes to the talent side of things. And it's kind of funny that you're talking about, you know, captain versus coach, because I am the team captain, but I don't consider myself a very good coach. But we do have a guy who's almost an unofficial coach on the team. And he tends to be more positive about winning than anybody else. Now, myself, when we got to this last year, we actually just were at the complete bottom in the first half of the season. And then I came in, I was like, we can still do this. We've got another half of the season, and whoever wins this half, we can do this. I will say that's where the belief came in. Mm-hmm. And I think we started to like just really kind of pile it on from there. My question, though, is when you don't truly believe as the team captain or coach, mm-hmm. how do you convince yourself?
You typically, at least in my research, it typically doesn't happen. And so we're talking about the positive sides of the belief system, but there's the other side of the belief system that is not positive. And if you don't have a strong belief system in whatever it might be, that's why you see teams, programs struggle year after year after year, because it is contagious. Just like the positivity thing can be contagious to leading to positive outcomes and experiences, the negative piece is very contagious too, and will lead most often to negative outcomes, negative experiences. And you see that in sports a lot with programs that struggle. And it doesn't matter who the coach is or who the team is, it's a belief system that this program is bad.
Broken, yeah.
And it just keeps repeating the process. And so you need to have a strong, strong leadership role in the belief system.
And I agree. It there's a lot of things that take to be successful and win a championship: luck, talent, leadership, positivity. And so that, to your question, is if you don't believe in the team, you're not winning a championship. But can it change? It takes a lot. It's back to getting back to the basic and restacking those bricks and build and finding wins, finding ways to change that belief system. So depending on when that happens, but frankly, most teams by, you know, 2/3 of the season probably know where they're at, and it going to have to be little changes that make that belief system change so that you can successfully make a run in the postseason.
And when you said believe in the team, see, that's kind of, I think, where my belief system as the team captain was different, because I did believe in the team. I thought the team could do it, but I wasn't exactly believing in my own abilities. And this is where it's going to be a little bit different, because most of the time your coaches and your team captain, well, I guess the team captain would play, but your coach isn't going to be playing on the team. So I believed in the team. It's just my own ability.
But even in your case, you had prior success, which really helps the belief system.
That is true.
You had been there before, so it was pretty much the same team. So you knew it had the potential to get there. But to your point, though, you got to separate it, because, you know, another thing I like our coaches to do is work individually with kids, because as a group, you got to break down the individuals. And if your best player is having a slump or something, you got to help them figure it out. And not even your best player, any player. So that can maybe change. One person can spark a team to change to be successful. But the belief system in your bowling team had to change for you to turn that season around. Fortunate for you, you had the past experience, I believe, that you knew this team could be successful. To Cutter's point, those teams that haven't, it's even harder to, and but it still starts with the coach, because the other, the team itself is, it doesn't know any better.
Sure.
Unfortunately, sometimes it's a changing coach. To my original premise here, it in the world of teams that have coaches, it starts with them on helping to instill that belief system, continue to work on it and build it. And there are different ways to do that. And I know in Coach Cut's program, he does a lot of these things. You know, a couple of things that a coach can do to help change it is, first, they have to have faith in their ability. They brought this team together. They got to, you know, believe in them, have to have faith in their ability. Visualization, which I do know you use a lot of, can help them see what they need to do. It goes a long way nowadays and getting even broken down even further. Focus, that's another word that, you know, when I listen to people talk about how to be successful, you got to be desperate and focus. If you don't have that desperation or hunger, it's going to hard to be successful. Once you have that desperation, hunger, you got to focus on your goal, focus on what you need to do and get rid of that external noise to be successful. And then what I mentioned earlier, another tactic is reframing lessons. I have a plaque in my office. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn instead of lose.
Right.
But again, there is a negative side of this that I like to focus with Ted Lasso on the positive side, Coach Cutter, but there is a negative side to this. And I think that the part in back now to the book of The Magic of Believing, you know, was one of the first books on the what the power of belief can do. He talks about talking to yourself, tell yourself, your subconscious mind is what's going to help you believe that you can do something. And we've talked before about that, about talking to yourself, don't listen to yourself, I think is what we talked about, but your thoughts take shape. One of my favorite quotes, and I didn't look it up before I came here, but in every speech I gave at the high school level, your thoughts become your words become your habits, and your habits become what you do. Technical difficulties in the background.
I wouldn't call it technical difficulties. We know what the problem is. We just can't fix it. So the listeners, basically, we have two different screens, and they're just kind of mixed up right now. So I keep having to turn the chair around just to figure out.
We had a solution for
you. Had a solution.
All right. So what was the quote again?
Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits, and your habits kind of become who you are. And
absolutely. If you're looking to
your destiny, yep.
Which one?
I think the top one there.
Okay.
So your thoughts become your words become your behavior becomes your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. And it starts with your thoughts.
Attributed to Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi.
Gandhi. Okay.
Gandhi, yep.
Yep.
So.
But if you're looking to turn around a team, a program, a business, or anything else, and you haven't had success, the visualizations are super important. But one of the gold caveat is you have to immerse yourself into whatever it is that you're chasing and be able to kind of touch it and smell it. Mm-hmm. And that might mean you have to go to a program that is having success. But you have to be able to see what it looks like. You're not going to just be able to build this big mansion without understanding how to stack those bricks and understanding what the outcome is going to look like if you do stack those bricks. And so it's very important to be able to kind of see and touch and taste the things that you are trying to get to. And if that's a struggling team, then you have to look at what the strong teams look like.
That I think that's a great clarification, actually, because you're right. And we talked about you don't know what you don't know, but usually when you hire a new coach, they have that goal. But I would encourage coaches to go see who won the championship last year. What did they do? And I know you've done before, like researching three championships and seeing what stats they have and such. So great point of going out there and finding out who did it and learning from them and digging into how they did it. Now, in sports, you think rivalries or competitive, not anger, but anyway, just that. But I want to learn from the best, and I would encourage our coaches, and we want to be the best, so hopefully programs are coming to us. And I have learned, you know, even though, like you see in coaches compete on the field, that they do share information, especially if you run a similar offense or something. Yeah, if you don't have that experience, you got to, mm-hmm. And some, you know, like teams go and visit, and you know, like that, go to the national championship one year to watch it and see it and feel it to understand it. We've talked about experience before. So, yeah, I mean, normally coaches think they know what it takes, but one of the best ways to learn is from those that have done it, because, yeah, you can't just visualize something if you don't know what the reality is of being there. And I think the good coaches, they have the motivation to do that. They're always learning. That's their goal heading into the season. So I hope they've done that preparation, and having a plan in place and having a specific plan is important, because that's what builds, again, connections and trust and the focus to be better every day. Because the other neat thing that I learned about, or I knew about belief, but it reiterated with this, is it's contagious. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, back both to your ways. Point. You know, yeah. We've always talked about one bad apple can ruin a barrel. And we know that in sports and teams, but it's also even back to one person getting hot, you know, that celebration. We talked about how contagious the high five is in sports, but so is one person's success, because, again, the team, if they're connected and close and trust each other, that can help build that belief system. The spark may be a turnaround that it could be one person.
It's so contagious that in any sporting event, you can find moments that totally shift the flow and momentum of any event. It's extremely contagious, and you can't necessarily know when it's coming, but you can definitely see it. You can definitely feel it. And once it's there, you're like, either this is awesome or this is terrible.
Yeah. Back to that, it could lead to a great team that has an unsuccessful season. And you know, you asked me earlier if I've experienced teams that their belief system led to a championship. And I think all of us can look back through sports and find teams that have done that, you know, underdogs that went on to win. There have been movies made about them. And it just, again, you just see it. And it's just fun to be a part of. It's a fun to watch that belief system become one and just take them to a whole nother level, and you see positivity, you see joy, and you see success. Yeah, there's so much more we could dive into this. I didn't even get through half of my notes, but again, just a good conversation as where I'm at in our school year, as I reflect on our year and our, you know, trying to help our coaches be better on what we need to look for specifically in our programs, and even on, you know, we continue down the path of being better leaders, how does that take place? And I think for all of us, especially, you know, even our love for Ted Lasso, which we didn't even dive into today, is believing. All right, so let's go to the food portion of this podcast.
And Stars on food.
I tried to look up different questions than food, but the food ones are fun for me. So, and we kind of might have dived into this because, again, in the end of our last podcast, we were talking about Penn Station fries and ranch dressing.
Did you try them yet?
I have not tried them
yet. Yeah, I haven't been to Penn Station yet.
I need to go. That's a great point.
I have to admit that I actually the next day went to Penn Station. Wow. Because I was in the mood after that.
Okay, I will have to go. So, again, talking about fries and Penn Station, we might have talked about this, but what's your ultimate comfort food? The one you never give up no matter what? I think I don't know. I thought I knew yours, Cutter. I can go first if you want, so you can think about it, which I normally do. Mine's ice cream. I mean, I'm a sugar-aholic, unfortunately. I've told you before that's probably not good for me, but I like candy. I like sugar, but ice cream's my one I would never. Our family just loves ice cream. I mean, I like potato. I mean, there's so many things I could go, but if I had to pick one, it'd be ice cream. Cutter or Dedalion, you got any to throw out there?
I think pretty consistent.
I'm
with
probably going to be right along with him. just letting you know, it
have to be pizza.
Yeah, I'm on board with
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's pizza. I
couldn't even fathom the thought of not being able to have pizza.
And the beauty is you can change it up so much, absolutely. And it's still so good.
Yes.
You too, Dad.
Oh, yeah, pizza easily. I mean, it's the one food that I always enjoy. I mean, even when it's bad, it's good.
It feels like a celebration when you're having pizza.
Yeah.
I like pizza, too, and I eat pizza a lot. I mean, at least once or twice a week. I think it should be a family tradition. Like, on Fridays, you have pizza after a long week, and there's many different directions you go. Like, I'll call my wife. I'm picking pizza up on the way home. Which one you want?
I'll tell you what. I'll give you the bonus thing, and if we're talking sugary stuff, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh.
Yep, solid answer.
That's it right there. No, you've got to pound that one.
I thought for you, Cutter, Doritos.
I could go without them.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're great, but I could go without them.
Okay. I thought pizza or Doritos with you. Mm. I thought it'd be a little more extravagant for you to dally with something I didn't like or from. But pizza.
It's pizza, man.
Okay.
I mean, the only other thing I could think of that I might say would be subs, but.
Okay.
You know, it's still pizza.
He's the bowling champion. It's going to be pizza.
Okay. All right, well, that's, again, all I have. And until next time, go Stars.
Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalian Lowry, and you can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars!